Well, oh well, 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 well. Hi, everybody. Today, we are going to get into some concrete examples about how slaves are created and how a masterclass is sustained. I'm guessing most of you, because you're probably good people, don't want to be a master. I don't want to be a master. But I sure as hell will never be a slave. And I have some frightful but yet very insightful examples of exactly how this happens. So let's discuss. I posted something 2 days ago about Theo Von and Whitney Cummings, and I called him out in a humorous way. And it's been seen now by like 50,000 people, and that's without a Facebook or anything. And I felt like I was still being funny. I even said I liked Theo, despite him saying some stuff and not standing up for me with that vampire, Whitney Cummings. But enough people wrote saying that I was being bitter or I was being too reactionary or Theo was just joking or stuff like that. Or like a man calls out another man on a podcast, or this is cowardice, that I'm now going to dive in a little deeper and give you guys a little more backstory, both into Theo Von and Sam Harris and Joe Rogan and a few other examples. Because I think shame is a powerful and a very good emotion, and I think people should feel it when they do something wrong. And sometimes the truly shameless people, I realize they don't have a conscience. But that being said, shame is a slave emotion. It's a weapon used by masters to keep slaves in line. And I'm going to show you how a slave is created. And this isn't a call out of Theo. In fact, this is why I was trying to be nice for so long. And okay, let's just get right into it. This is my conversations with Theo. And this is sad because you can also see the friendship in it. I write them in May 15th. Good work on those podcast numbers. You're crushing. Your dyke hair is your secret. I feel like that's your secret. He wrote, thanks, man. You good? Yeah, tired. All right. So we're bros. He writes, happy Father's Day, bro. I wrote, thanks, man. When are you having kids? Doesn't write back in June, but that's cool. That's nothing. June 28th. Hey, did you and Whitney talk shit about me on your pod? Some people just wrote me that. He wrote, fuck people, man. Someone tagged me in something like that as well. I don't think so. I'll have to go back and listen. I wrote, I trust you. I've always listed you as one of the funniest comics. And that's true. If any of my more autistic fans want to go back and go through all my podcasts and just cite the hundreds of times I've listed Theo Von as a go-to comedian to watch and someone that's, you know, someone that can entertain the people that probably like me. You know, I list him up there with the Norm Macdonald types or the, you know, it's just someone who's funny. He's a funny guy and I've always supported him. He wrote, yeah, I'm just learning how to interview people and it's kind of scary because there are certain points you can't have out there without getting in trouble. That's the first cue is to him becoming a slave. Trouble. I wrote, Whitney really did talk shit about me, so I said she looked like a melted candle. He writes, I'm not gonna get into everything we talked about. I'm just going to get into the obvious ones. I wrote, I stopped caring about getting in trouble and nothing bad happens. And he said, I would love to have you on the podcast when you come out next time. I wrote, I'd love to. He wrote, dude, that's one of the best statements I ever heard. It's scary out here, man. I wrote, people are dying for normal comedy, my brother. No one cares about Samantha Bee. And he wrote, oh, I definitely believe that. I'm trying to give it to the reason I'm reading this is we're friends. I'm trying to encourage him. At this point, I haven't watched the video yet. Let's watch the video together. This is just because people have told me that this, and I believe that he didn't say anything that was that bad. So I wrote, yeah, people dig you a lot, Theo. You haven't sipped the devil's soy. He wrote, it's a slippery slope, though, because I'm pretty close to a development deal out here as well. I know that if people see Whitney coming, all right, I'm not going to get into all of it, but he's toeing a line. But at this point, I still think, I wrote, my last special I shot in a wood shop on a truck. Do your thing, man. Just be you. Okay. He wrote, I promise I'll get back and listen. Blah, 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 blah. All right. I wrote, it's all fine, buddy. Ball busting is fine. Don't sweat it. And then June 29th, I write, yo, did you really say this? And then I wrote what he actually said. I wrote, I'm not going to talk shit about you publicly because I still like you, but this is weak, man. This is real disappointing. None of this shit you're chasing is worth agreeing with this dumb bitch that I'm a white supremacist. You know that isn't true? So does she. I'm part Jewish, my kids are Hispanic, and I openly call racist faggots. These people are devils, dude. When they can't debate an idea, they destroy someone's name, and they hate masculinity. He wrote, I have no idea, bud. I'm not arguing. I'm happy to chat in studio. I will listen whenever I get a chance, blah, blah. I wrote, cool, man. Just know I'm not desperate. Desperate people don't leave L.A. He wrote, I don't think you're desperate, and I will listen to it. Probably should have said other shit, blah, blah. I wrote, still love you, bud. This is in June. By the way, I didn't call him out to the end of August. It gets even crazier. I wrote, Sam Tripoli said something similar. It's bonkers. He said he couldn't condone my language on a podcast. The dude gives butt plugs to get people to his shows. This is madness. I wrote, been getting a lot of these all morning, buddy. Let's have that convo. All right, it just keeps going and going. I wrote, do you do Skype? I can fly down whenever. He wrote, no Skype. When you're in town, I wrote, I can fly down whenever. Are you around this week? Nah, going to China. I wrote, oh, that's awesome. You're going to be super tall there. Ha ha. I wrote, they call me Godzilla. All right, so I'm in LA 8-4. Want a pod? He's like, yeah, I'll have my booker set it up. Bales. All right, fourth and fifth. I'm coming down for my PragerU vid. Pod? He goes, okay, let me see. I wrote 8-3 as well. He goes, can't make any of those days. Okay, I go, you want to come to Dennis Prager's birthday with me on 8-4? He goes, no, I can't do it. And then I never hear from him again. So I'm not emotionally erratic. And wait till we start talking about Joe Rogan and Sam Harris. I'm not a mean person. And don't take my compliance as slave shit. That's me being nice. Like, if I'm talking to you, this is what this motherfucker said about me. Here we go. Ready? This is Whitney Cummings and Sam and Theo Von. And then we'll talk about the repercussions of these type of accusations. We'll talk about Antifa witnessing someone almost die on the street. In fact, I can't be booked at any clubs and I can't be represented by any agencies in LA anymore. And I used to be, I sold a show with the guy who created CAA. Wait till you hear some of these stories. All right.
Are you, the clubs won't book you?
Yeah, well, you can't work in Hollywood. No one's even going to talk to you.
Spritzer.
But.
You couldn't say, like, look what happened, even just like.
I don't disagree. I hadn't thought it through.
But imagine that. Like, imagine if you are a conservative.
If you're a pro-Trump comedian,
right.
There are people out there who
but
will
not
buy
pro-Trump.
Your stuff.
You could have voted for somebody and also not be, really
you
give
can,
a fuck about them.
Right, but why are there no, is this somebody, why are there no right-wing
that's
political
Youssef.
Comedians?
Isn't it?
It's
there's
Nick
another
DiPaolo.
Guy who's oh Nick DiPaolo. He's gotten super right wing though, and I think that it's hurt him, right?
And then there's also he kind of went off over the deep end, but Owen Benjamin.
Yeah,
Owen's too far out there. Owen's out doing. Owen's just looking. Owen's kind of like.
Well, I think
he seems like Roseanne's son a little bit, but out in the woods.
No, but isn't he like a men's rights activist or a white power activist? Or I'm probably spreading rumors, but
no, it's gotten a little bit bizarre.
He didn't say no. He's a guy. Who later told me that he's trying to get a development deal, which is why he had Whitney Cummings on there. This is a guy that wished me happy Father's Day. This is a guy that I've known since he was just coming off Road Rules. Is the not funny one. This is insane. Okay, let's keep going. And bear in mind, listen to all the shit he had written to me. And this is what he actually says.
He's also like trashing comics. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, it's just gotten, I think some of it's gotten a little bit, some desperation that happens.
Desperation.
When you aren't here.
Yep.
But move it, niggers! I wanted to talk to you.
All right, we'll get to Joe Rogan in a second. So Theo's becoming a slave. So what happens now is Theo is trying to walk the line. And people have been telling me, hey man, you shouldn't bash people you don't know. Theo's a great comic. Dude, no one was a bigger supporter of Theo than me. I treated him as a friend. I gave him every opportunity to give me an out. That's slander right there. I could sue that bitch for that. White power guy? Are you fucking kidding me? Okay. The year before, I was on Sullivan and Son, a sitcom for 3 years on TBS, right? The year before, not only was I repped at CAA, but the guy who created CAA, his name's Bill Haber. We're talking... billionaire, right? We're talking the type of guy where you go to have dinner at his house or lunch at his house. He's like that weird, whimsical rich where he's like, maybe a peacock will walk in from outside. Oh, this guy is the ambassador to France. Just a fascinating guy. So we sell a show to Disney. We were, you know, we'd have lunch with like Michael Eisner. They paid me $125,000 to do a show called Owen's World, right? A few years before, I was living with Christina Ricci, going to parties where it's like Donatella Versace, like trying to give Lenny Kravitz Coke, and there's probably the same pelican walks in. Oh no, there's a pelican. I was in a circle of people that would view Joe Rogan as a peasant meathead retard. I know the upper echelons of the Los Angeles Hollywood community. And I was off Sullivan and Son for 1 year before I left LA with my wife and new baby. And now we have another baby. Best decision I've ever made in my life. So I got kicked out of CAA after I'd already been out of LA for 6 months when I said that trans children shouldn't be put on hormone blockers. Long story short, Joe Rogan put me on a show. Joe Rogan was one of my heroes. I felt that the fact that he could still be masculine in such a horrifying world, he introduced me to so many great thinkers. I looked up to him, how he would stand up to people that were weak, but he had no status in my mind, none. Like most high level LA people view him as a monkey, literally. But I loved him. I really did. I looked up to him as a hero. And so doing that show was, it was like one of the greatest days of my life. And then I did it two more times. And the third time obviously was a train wreck with Kurt Metzger and all that stuff. But a little backstory of what was going on that whole time is me and Joe were becoming friends. We were texting. I was trying to see what kind of person he was because he would say really weird stuff and also awesome, beautiful things. And I never needed his power or his influence. I just really liked him. And that's the real tragedy of some of these stories is I was actually viewing them as a friend. These are people that can't be friends with very many people. They have too much power and influence. You know, it's like that movie, The Edge. It's one of me and Steven Crowder's favorite movies. I was just texting with Crowder's dad about The Edge. I'm like, yeah, I watched The Edge again last night. He's like, dude, I also recently watched The Edge. It's one of the best movies ever. But there's this great scene where this billionaire, played by Anthony Hopkins, is just having lunch with this other guy, and this other guy starts pitching him an idea. You know, he's like, for $30 million, we can turn this Alaska wilderness, blah, blah, blah. And you can see it in Anthony Hopkins' eyes where something just shifts, and he goes, oh, I thought we were just having lunch. And you just see that it's the thousandth time that's happened to him where it's like, I thought we were just friends. And so the real sadness that happens with some of this stuff is you realize that you're not just friends, that these people, Theo straight up ghosted me after that. That was 25 days later, after trying to get on his show to talk back about what that stupid bitch said about me. I'm going to start telling my sides of the story. And it's the same thing with the Joe Rogan shit. It's like that dude, one of the reasons I think he started ghosting me as well is he told me not to talk to Stephen Molyneux. He's like, that dude's a cult leader, all this shit. And I'm like, really? I thought he was cool. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the more I would like do stuff with, I did Molyneux's show anyway, because I'm no slave. I don't comply. My compliance is always by choice. Joe Rogan, at this point, was one of my the hero of heroes in my mind. But I'm like, but Stephen Molyneux is like a good guy. Like he's all about having people not abuse children. Like that's my whole thing. Like that's the only way to make the world a better place. Forget about politics. So then I do, I didn't even know Mike Cernovich at all, but he asked me on Twitter to do this, this event, A Night for Freedom, with Gavin McGinnis and Stephen Molyneux and Michael Malice, and it was just a fantastic evening. And I didn't really know what to expect of Cernovich, but he was like, hey man, I could pay you right now in Bitcoin or dollars, whatever, man. And I'm like, I like the spark in this dude. So I go down there, and this is before the third time I do Rogan. So I go down there and Antifa, and if you don't know what they look like that. Antifa is a terrorist organization in America. And Antifa, this is an article I'm reading you right now. Antifa member in custody after hospitalizing 56-year-old outside of Night for Freedom event. And that you can't find that on CNN, only on Breitbart. You know, this news outlet that is shamed by some of the people I'm referring to right now. I'm sure the Joe Rogans and the Sam Harrises of the world are like, oh, Breitbart, no way. I watched that. That was an old Jewish guy, real gentle guy, had not been warned about the horrors of Antifa, because mainstream media calls them heroes. You know, they're like, they're anti-fascist, kind of like, what did Tina Fey say? Kind of like the people that stormed Normandy. Well, I watched him twitching on the sidewalk after being attacked by a mob of Antifa people simply because we were having a pro-capitalism event that was, not that it has to be, but oddly diverse in race and social class and gender and everything imaginable. It was a wonderful time. And so around that time, I started realizing that there was more things happening than I realized. And the third time when I did Rogan and he said, well, you do hang out with some questionable people. And I remember I was being very polite. I was almost being passive because I have self-imposed shame where if it's someone else's area, if I'm a guest, even though it was my son's birthday and I paid my own way to fly out there because my special was about to come out, and I was trying to promote it and I wanted to, you know, chat with Rogan and have a good conversation, but I'm still in his house, you know? So I just kind of took it a little bit and I thought about it and I thought about it for months. And I finally realized how much of a coward that guy is, and he'll never be my hero again. And he really lost something in me because I'm a good friend and I'm a good guy to have in your corner. And I used to be a heckler. That's a picture of me. People used to throw tomatoes at me for a living. So I don't mind getting dirty. All right. So Joe Rogan's friend, Alex Jones, gets deplatformed from four different things. I've never done InfoWars. I barely even listened to it, but I did it that week. I wanted to show support. I wanted to show solidarity with free speech. Joe Rogan would talk about how Alex Jones shouldn't have said that about Newtown being a false flag, whatever. If you look at what CNN's done, what Fox done, what MSNBC has done, what the New York Times has done, what all these places have done as far as getting us into wars and trying to topple an elected president, pushing so much nonsense that literally gets people hurt. Like the fact that they have not been honest about what Antifa is. I watched a man almost die in front of me as my wife and child are in a hotel across the street because they wouldn't warn people what Antifa really was. And that's a violent group of thugs. So I'm watching Joe Rogan turn on his own friend. And I realized that, you know, there was a time when he would tell me not to tweet this and not to tweet that. And, you know, why am I not getting Netflix? And he's got a big Netflix deal. And blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, sorry, man. You know, I'll try to play ball. But I can't, you know, I can't, it has to be in my mind that it makes sense. And I remember this one time, by the way, I don't know Alex Jones for shit. I did that out of principle. That doesn't help my career. I don't give a flying fuck about my career. I want my career just to be being a landlord and a writer and a podcast or whatever. Just collecting checks, growing kale, just crushing mitts, you know, shooting guns in my ravine, just making more babies with my sweet hammer. It's like career. I've been at the top of the top. Like I was repped and with the people that literally I would hear called Joe Rogan a monkey. And I would disagree with them. I'd say, no, that guy is great. He's truly like a brilliant man. And I'm loyal as fuck. And as soon as I'm not loyal, you'll know, because I'll just say it to everybody. I'm no longer loyal to Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is not loyal to people. That dude is not a loyal guy, man. And he had me in his corner, and I'm a fucking fighter. He'd beat the shit out of me in a fight. That doesn't matter, though. Want to know what can beat someone in a fight? A gun or any distance or laws? It doesn't matter. I'm a mental machine. You want me in your corner. And when you talk about, have you ever seen me once talk bad about Stephen Molyneux, Dave Smith, Michael Malice, Gavin McGinnis, Steven Crowder? None of those guys. Anybody that isn't a coward, even if I don't agree with them, I'm not going to talk shit. I just read you me and Theo's conversation. That wasn't to humiliate Theo. If I wanted to humiliate Theo, I would have done that a long time ago. By the way, I've shot a lot of documentaries in LA over the years. I have terabytes of footage of these people. I was in Mexico with Theo Von on four-wheelers and shit in a rainstorm. You know, taping all our sets, taping us getting hammered, doing funny. If I wanted to shame people, I'm like the CIA of Hollywood. I have people saying crazy shit. That's not my business. I think shaming people is the master's move. And I'm not the master. I do not want to be a master. I do not believe in masters and slaves. The only way to be a slave is to accept slavery, like what Theo is currently doing. I don't want to get in trouble. I want Whitney on my show because I want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. At that point, I can't believe I didn't even watch the thing at that point yet. And that's why when I was like, I trust you, buddy. Much love. Always support. And then I watched it. I'm like, you don't want to get in trouble, so you'll knock your own? You'll agree with this slimy bitch calling your friend a white supremacist? At that point, something in me switches. I am no slave, man. I will kneel to no man. I believe in God. And that's one reason why these people hate Christians. That's probably one reason Joe Rogan despises Christians so much and mocks Christians and the Bible and Christianity and thinks it's all so stupid. It's because he knows that we'll never see him as our master. And it's like the patheticness of it, just the pathetic nature of it. And after the last time I did his podcast, he told me that Sam Harris was texting him frantically about me, saying that I was this, like, he was like, yeah, this guy seemed pretty cool, but, you know, Owen Benjamin was knocking me on Twitter. I was mocking him because he was talking about these silent retreats, and I was like, yeah, you know, I would have loved to have been on a silent retreat if my mom had created Golden Girls. Sam Harris's mother created Golden Girls, probably worth $250 million. Sam Harris is a little rich Jew from Los Angeles who could go on silent retreats because he's never had to work. So I developed respect for him for calling out Islam, and then I realized that it's not because he has any bravery or whatever. He's attempting to be a master. And so he slandered me to Rogan extensively and actually compared me to Mike Cernovich, a guy who I've grown to have tremendous respect for. See, the thing about guys like me and Mike Cernovich and Stefan Molyneux and people like that is we've danced with real devils growing up. And I know that some other people have as well, but real, like, mental illness surrounding us. And we've seen the real depth and depravity that comes from when you have no moral backbone whatsoever, and how to get out of it, how to believe in yourself, how to not be shamed into being a slave. And so when he was comparing me to Mike Cernovich and calling me some sort of, like, shock comedian or something, simply because I pointed out something obvious. And all those times when I was making fun of Sam Harris, I've never brought this up. I've never brought up this personal information. But guess what? It's my story to tell, because I am not going to be shamed into a slave social class. No, I don't get to hold your secrets. It's like I won't tell secrets I know about other people. I know a ton of shit about everybody I'm talking about, but that I would never do that. I'm not the Inquirer. But when it comes to me, when it comes to why I don't like Sam Harris, why I know that guy's a real piece of shit, why I know that guy secretly started slandering me to people that I was friends with, texting them all this shit about how I was, you know, just this awful guy. It's like, no, it's because I called him out as this little rich bitch that he is. And he is. And at the time, I felt kind of bad about it because I was like, because it could have been a security issue, you know, because ICE is going out. And that's the thing. When you're a good person, you think about these things, you get compassion, you go, yeah. And then you start thinking, wait a minute, do these people actually care about security risks? What about security risks of me? What about all the death threats I've had? You don't think ISIS type people, type jihadi people have threatened me and my family for my free speech? What about the fact that people have threatened my life because they claim I'm a Nazi racist because of rumors pushed by people I claimed were my friends, like Theo Von? Would you like to see the most controversial thing I have ever done on stage that has to do with race ever? And this is the thing that got people like Whitney Cummings ammunition to fire at me. Please let me know if you find this racist. Here we go. Enjoy yourself up there.
That nigga stole my bike.
Listen to the punchline.
Turns out that nigga's white. Trudeau stole my rights.
Dude, I mean, come on. That's it? That's it, Bert Kreischer? You fat fuck? That's what gives you guys the right to come at me? I'll burn your whole world, man. Not in a violent way, but just in a smart way. That's one of the lines from The Edge. Is, you know, why is the rabbit smoking a pipe, Charles? Because he knows he's smarter than the panther. That's what these people don't get, man. The hubris is fucking unreal. It's like, you think that you can attack my character. My character is set in stone. You start telling me that I'm like this whiny bitch coming at Theo Von, and he's a great comic, and I don't even know him. I was reasoning with him for 2 months, trying to get him to either apologize to me or have me on his show so that I could talk down his slander. When he ghosted me and when he lied to me, I'll fucking say my side of the story. And same with Joe Rogan. Same with Sam Harris. Sam Harris is a spoiled little rich bitch. The intellectual dark web. So instead of just slandering people, because I'm not motivated by emotion, you know, I have a lot of self-control. I would do stuff like this. Like I made this with Sam Harris and Ben Shapiro. This is kind of hilarious. Here we go. Let's watch this.
We're now part of this kind of deviant conversation.
We're having long form conversations.
The capacity to even have these conversations.
These conversations are happening.
Because there's no way to have a conversation with unifying, you know, those of us who are having these conversations.
We're having conversations.
And that, of course, is a conversation which
the conversation continues even once you have data.
We're supposed to have conversations when you legitimately can't cite data before you even start having a conversation. These new conversations are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? Do you think that these new conversations are going to...
I'm very optimistic about are having conversations like this.
A constant conversation between God and man.
We're having a conversation that gets recorded.
These fucking retards.
Active conversation that goes into the interpretation.
A merely human conversation. It's people like ourselves.
That nigga stole my bike!
Between a 21st century conversation.
You and I will sit here and our conversation will be better than a conversation 1,000 years ago. Are these conversations...
This is from 1 hour of talking.
Conversation about ethical truth.
I feel like you're playing a little bit of a trick.
You notice that you're hearing a conversation that you're not hearing.
Final parting question.
That nigga stole my bike!
We didn't rationality touch free will, or free will, exactly.
Yeah. Bit of conversation.
Definitely going to have you back for a much longer conversation.
All right. So obviously I like Ben Shapiro infinitely more than Sam Harris. I have respect for Ben Shapiro. I criticize the shit out of the little fucker when he does something wrong. But man, that dude's a warrior. Well, I think that he's full of shit when it comes to a lot of cultural stuff, like the fact that he went after Roseanne but not James Gunn, shit like that drives me insane. But Sam Harris is an absolute psychopath, straight cold psychopath. The fact he wrote all that shit to Rogan right after I'd just been humiliated on my son's birthday in front of a million people. By the way, you guys watch Rogan's numbers these days? Yikes. I mean, people are not digging that show. That's what happens when you break from the truth, man. And he was one of my heroes, bro. And now I just think the dude is such a weak man, you know? And like the people that are like, oh, you know, you should be grateful. That's what they tell rape victims and slaves. Grateful. Dude, so the last year I was in LA where I could feasibly do my own TV show. The last free agent year I had in L.A., the guy who created CAA and Michael Eisner, I sold that script for $125,000 I was talking to you about. And then the head writer, who's now passed away, who's one of the greatest guys I've ever known, Marsh McCall. Like, this is how my life was. I went to his wedding. You know, he had gotten divorced. He had this awesome daughter. Still has a great daughter, but he's not on this earth anymore. But, you know, we went to Kevin Costner's house for the wedding in Aspen. You know, I was at a level there where I wasn't like this super famous guy, but I was in all those circles. And the way they would look at a Joe Rogan was like that he was a monkey. Like literally, I'm not joking. Like just this beast of like a fucking stinky ape. And I would always defend people like that because that's why you want someone like me in your corner. Because I'll say exactly what the fuck I think. Because the truth will set you free. That doesn't mean be slanderous. That doesn't mean talk shit. That doesn't mean say everything you know. I know tons about these people that are like, oh God. But those aren't my stories. That's not the point of all of this. The point is, like, don't misrepresent yourself. Don't fucking text me that you know, you're toeing the line because you don't want to get in trouble and you have a development deal and that you didn't say anything bad and blah, 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 and I trust you and say all good. And then I watch it and I say, bitch, did you agree with this cunt who called me a white supremacist? And then you fucking ghost me for a month? Yeah, then I'm going to call you the fuck out because I'm not a slave. You have nothing I want. Joe Rogan has his little toy cars he drives around and he goes bow hunting with his buddies. But like, he's 5'7". I remember being 5'7", and then I went into sixth grade. It was really thrilling when I could see over, you know, a shelf. All right, good times. And that's one reason why people hate free men. Persona non grata. That's why that's the name of my tour. Hugepianist.com if you want to pick up some ticks. It's because you're not allowed in the circle if they can't fucking, if they don't think you're either a vampire or someone that they can suck off of. And all good, man. It's just like, go through my podcast, man. Go through what I've said about Joe Rogan and Theo Von and how I looked at the most generous possible way at these men, quote unquote, these soy sipping bitches, man, these fucking losers. Like, Alex Jones is Joe Rogan's buddy, and he highlights the one flaw of his career that he said that Newtown was a fucking false flag. He didn't even say the kids didn't die. CNN gets us into wars where our friends die. We have an opiate problem. Antifa literally is stomping people's heads in the streets, and they're called fucking heroes by these people. But no, you're not going to back your friend. If you're standing in a lake of fire, Joe Rogan, if he was holding water, if he was a little parched, he'd drink the water. All right, let me read some of these super chats, and then I will bid you all farewell. That felt good. Shooting some practice arrows before the beginning of archery season here in Pennsylvania, requesting Melted Candle in the Wood by Elton John and White Genocide in South Africa by Toto. I'm not going to do any music today. I just want to keep this concise because I would love if a good amount of people watched it and they know exactly who their fucking heroes are. Because I'll tell you, there are heroes in this world. And they're obvious. And a lot of them aren't famous. This is going to sound corny as shit. My wife is one of my heroes. My wife, the shit she endures, the shit that she can smile through, the shit that she does for our family. It's incredible. It's incredible. And then you compare that to just people that have so much wealth and just piggish indulgences, and they can't simply say, like, stand up for a friend. It's like, all right, bud. All right. Because there's a lot on the line here. There's a lot on the line. To some people, there isn't a lot on the line. To me and a lot of other people, there is. If you want to bring in these lies into our world and this nonsense, you know, if you want to try and control who someone's friends with or what their thoughts are, you know, it's like, that could fucking hurt my family. That could kill my kids. That could have our land taken by the government. It's nuts. All right, got trolled in app last night. I was called a front hole at least 10 times, not once. I couldn't feel offended. Damn those trannies. That's from Fairbear. Well, you sound like a bit of a front hole right now. Owen, here's some honey money. Also, you need goats, LOL, and you'll be having goat babies soon. I love goats. Well, we just got some more chicks. I'm about to build a coop. You, Norm, and Rodney Carrington are my fave comics. Thank you, Ember. Caleb, you funny, bro. Who cares what other comedian friends say or what Witchy Cummings thinks? I'll tell you exactly why I care. Let's Google my name. And for those of you that are like, let it roll off your back, you've never had steak. Have you never had steaks in your life? Have you never had, like, risk? Let's Google my name, and I'll tell you exactly why I care. All right, I can't Google. Let me just, Owen Benjamin. Let's check out news. The first news article is a local comic, Dave Bracey, clashes online with alt-right comedian Owen Benjamin. Second news article, comic obsessed with Asian dicks and demeaning Asian women. Stand-up comedian Owen Benjamin has recently come under fire for a racist and demeaning tweet again against Asian men. Let's hear the tweet. This is hysterical, by the way. The tweet is, I just realized edamame is soybeans, so that's why Asian men have been dickless and hairless for thousands of years. Listen, I get why these people come at me like this, but these are my top articles. This has cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's cost me mine and my family's safety. So when people that I say are my friends, Joe Rogan, Theo Von, Bert Kreischer, these people that I say are my friends, they imply that I'm racist? My life is in fucking danger, you fucking retards. Libertarian, this is Breitbart has my back. That's nice. Libertarian comedian Owen Benjamin permanently suspended from Twitter. Oh, PragerU is in. Controversy after Carnegie Library hosts racially charged comic. I'm racially charged comic. I'm a fucking men and women are different comedian. It's like, it's not even close. It's not even close. It's not even close. All right. What else do we got? If you guys don't get the point by now, you never will because you're probably retarded. But that's kind of the reason why it matters. If they made fun of the fact I have bitch hips or I'm gangly tall or I'm kind of wild, I'm kind of retarded, shit like that, fine, all day long. I don't mind getting made fun of. You imply that I'm a racist and you claim to be my friend? I got to take this shit all day long from these people. And it's like, it's fine. If I'm in movies I was in, The House Bunny, Ye Old Times, Jack and Jill, Staten Island Summer, Sullivan and Sumba. Like, what the fuck has Theo Von done? He's Joe Rogan's friend. Joe Rogan has a network Netflix deal, so he can hook up his friends. That's one reason why he was trying to like be like, dude, why are you tweeting all this shit? You're really funny. I get he thinks I'm funny. Thank you, Joe. Guess what? I am funny as fuck. I'm better at stand-up than you, Joe Rogan. It's obvious. I'm a better joke writer. I have better delivery. I'm better at the piano. I'm not constantly yelling. I don't look like a thumb. It's like, no shit, I'm funny. Don't fucking try and talk shit about me. Don't try and throw me under the bus. Try and control my shit. Stand up for your friends, man. Don't be a pussy. And it's not hating, man. It is not hating. I was the dude who stood up for Joe Rogan. That dude is not seen as very sophisticated in the Hollywood community. They view him as a retard. A retarded person. Like a fucking monkey with wrenches going, like, fine. You either get it or you don't. Whatever. What are your thoughts on daycares? I work at a good Christian daycare, but I'm conflicted knowing kids thrive in their early years spent with their mom. I feel like I'm supporting government-raised children. Well, it sounds like you're one of the good ones, but I definitely think they should be with their moms. I want to use a two-minute clip of you speaking on your happiness now compared to 10 years ago in my vlog. I hope that's okay. Keep up the good fight. Of course it's okay. Use anything I do for anything. I mean, people take me out of context and try to make me into a monster, so if you just don't do that, of course you can do cut up anything I say. Punchline Bear, I thought the Argento scandal was about Turkey when I saw Asia Minor. Hilarious. Brett, much love to you and your family and Bears. Thank you, Brett. Notice they didn't include Prager in the IDW. No, because they have nobody who believes in God in IDW except for Ben Shapiro. Liberty Snake Bear. First they came for the socialists and did not speak out. I was not a socialist. Then they came for the Jews. Now no one's left to stand for me. All will suffer if comedians keep it up. Of course. Of course. And the cowardice, man. Even in my own family. I don't even want to talk about that, the shit that I see with that. But let's just say I won't be performing in Saranac Lake anytime soon. So I was planning on doing that at the end of September, but no, you know, I don't want to create any controversy. It's all good. I literally am starting to understand that some people just won't, they don't see it. They don't see that appeasement just means you get eaten last. And these people are so weak. They're so weak that all you have to do is go, boo, boo, you're a fucking coward. And they just go, oh, I mean, racist. No, no, I'll hide in my little fancy shiny car. Have me on your podcast. Debate me. Look at me man to man when I don't see you as a hero and try to battle my intellect. I dare you. No fucking chance you would. And I'm talking to anybody that's talking shit. You do not know the compliance that I do that's by choice. When I sit there and I listen to people just maiming arguments and saying things that are just nonsense, but if I love somebody or if I like care about somebody or if I look up to somebody, I won't attack because I have that paternal instinct, that fatherly instinct that says, stand up and try again. You know, I'm not going to create this tension, this cortisol release when I think that you could, you know, fight through this thing. But it's like, these people are not quick. And it's like, feel free to have me on another 3-hour conversation where I don't look up to you, Joe. I doubled, tripled, dog dare you. But I think that's probably why I never will. Because I don't look up to him anymore. I need nothing from him. Same with Theo fucking stupid ass Vaughn. Man, it's disappointing. And I tried. And I'm not going to put up screenshots or any of that stupid shit. But I read to you guys what the conversation was. So don't think for a second I was trying to throw someone under the bus. I was trying to hurt another comedian. I was literally like, man, don't do this. You'll give up everything. Like, why are you doing this? He never even said sorry. If he had said sorry, I wouldn't have made that video. The hubris of these people. They're just standing in gasoline and they don't even see it. And their kids will pay. They think they can make a priest class. That's one problem I have with the intellectual dark web. They're trying to be the new gatekeepers. That's over with. The internet changed that shit. And people can say, oh, I know people that work for the government that know shit. Oh, I know top level executives at Silicon Valley. Something crazy's coming down. No, it isn't. It's not. They'll try and try and try, but you can't. You can't fight it. It's already started. It's like blowing a dandelion. Just go ahead, try. You know, blackberries grow like weeds here, which is awesome because I love picking blackberries, but try to beat blackberry bushes. What are you going to bring in an invasive species? See how that turns out. Trust me, you're not going to beat it. You have to be honest. You have to expect that the world knows your thoughts. Just think that way. It's easy for me because I believe in God, but you can be an atheist and know this. Think, okay, my thoughts are already known by the world. Everything I've ever done has probably been seen or recorded. So knowing that, why would I ever misrepresent myself ever once? It makes no sense. It's illogical. It'll only end in your own shame. Your shame is your shackles. That's a slave emotion. So if you can be shamed, you're already on your knees, ready to take a dick in your mouth. So good luck with that. Owen versus intellectual dark web. I don't need to fight. I don't need to do anything like that. I'm just bringing things to light that are obvious. Because the amount of men, the amount of grown men on their knees like bitches is unbelievable. Rob, dance for my money, bitch. Just kidding. I love your stream. Hello from Seattle. Hello, Seattle. I have a bunch of straws at my house if you want to get crazy. You know, I have some illegal straws. Eagle Bear. Where's Eagle Bear? Can I be officially verified as Eagle Bear? Welcome, Eagle Bear. Also, could you play or listen to, if you get the chance, the song Rite of Spring by Angels and Airwaves? Yes. Hey, Big Bear, can we have a conversation about the conversation that led to the longer conversation about the conversation that can't be had until we have the starting conversation? I'll ask Sam Harris if it's okay. Hey, Owen, you the man, long time listen, first time super chatter. Still haven't been verified, unfortunately. Can I be Idaho Bear? Welcome, Idaho Bear. Idaho, you to hoe, your mom's to hoe. Owen, you got to check out Sam Hyde. Everyone keeps telling me this. I got to check out Sam Hyde. I will. I got to check out Hyde. I got to do Fox Theater in Bakersfield. I get it. I'm on it. Oh, and we added Dallas. So get tickets. Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, Atlanta, West Palm Beach. Get tickets. Austin. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. I'll do another Alex Jones when I'm in Austin. Hugepianist.com in September. Tickets will go. So get your tickets now. All right, Gleisha Bear. Thank you. Watch his TED Talk on 2070 Paradigm Shift. I'll check that out. Community Bear. Bearism, unbearable circle is truth and growing, but only with the best people. The toxic celebrity circle will close in on itself. If you don't believe that, check out the comments on my YouTube videos. If you don't think that this is a special community, just check out the comments. Even the ones that are critical of me are not insane. It's all set in reality. It's people. We're growing a community that is set in reality. That are like, if they don't agree with me, they're not just like, you're a racist, bigot, homophobe, devil. You're going to kill your kids. Like, the left is so fucked, but they have so much power, and they have to be fought with absolute non-compliance. Every compliance you do, you choose to do. Like, when I would sit there and listen to Joe Rogan butcher one of my jokes and tell me I misrepresent myself on Twitter, it was literally like Mozart and the emperor saying too many notes, and you're like, well, which notes would you like me to take away, you fucking retard? But I complied because I had admiration for him that I no longer do, because I listened to his snaky ass voice talk about how Alex Jones shouldn't have said that about that shooting. It makes you sick. Do you not know any vets? Do no vets come home to L.A.? There's nobody in wherever Joe Rogan lives with his faggoty ass fucking chickens. Do they not have any broken soldiers coming home? That CNN and mainstream media helped get us into a fucking war that we probably shouldn't have been in? No, they don't walk that. That's why these fuckers live in the hills, you know that? Because poor people can't walk up hills. They're too sad and too broken and too tired. That's true. Homeless people don't go up hills. That's why the valley is cheap and where Joe Rogan lives is so expensive. Because the broken and the weak can't walk up hills. The Hollywood Hills, baby. But guess what are the first to burn? Hills. So enjoy that shit. Big Bear, us real Americans got your back 100%. Fuck those fake men pussies. I'll march with you till the end. I love you, buddy. Honor thy father. You teach speech technique, persuasion. Why don't they laugh? Speech analysis and argument analysis to more people than your dad could have imagined. You have honored. Buddy, that legit just got me a little jammed up. So I'm not going to cry. So I'm going to just keep going. But that is unbelievably touching. Thank you very much for that. And I can tell you're from Ireland because of that little thing next to the thing. Dante, Cummings all over Rogan's face. Can a patriot get a wrench? Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the wrench later, but that's funny about the face thing. Support you all, and these people have had it coming. Here's a beer. Thank you. And it's crazy how many people won't say it out loud. To listen to Theo Vaughn and Bert Kreischer and Whitney Cummings, I'll be like, I mean, Joe Rogan really is the greatest. I mean, he truly is the great. He's retarded. His brain is, he's really smart when it comes to fighting. Like, he knows everybody's name. He knows all their styles, all their techniques. He understands the instincts of people. He knows how to adapt to someone's argument. He understands big picture business. He's a survivor. He has like weird OCD with where everything is in his studio. Like, he understands symbolism. He understands imagery, but he's retarded. He doesn't know history. He doesn't know basic logic. He doesn't understand like a syllogism. It like listening to him make logical points. Sometimes you're like, did you get kicked by a mule? All right, not to sound super gay, but I would stand in the cold rain with a machete and two La Croix to protect you from these vampires. Love you, BB. Want to know how you protect you? Want to know what the garlic is in reality? It's just speaking the truth. What happened with Kreischer? He's cool, man. Theo's cool. Joe's cool. They're all cool, but they're all fucking liar pussies. And he was like, he was on this show, and it's like, if anybody says I'm taking this shit too seriously, I'd love to watch you see an old man twitching on a sidewalk after being pummeled by Antifa. Or I'd love to send you my inbox of fucking death threats from my family because I'm a quote-unquote racist because I did a hilarious song. All right, so this is what that fucking faggot said. All right, check this out.
Racist comic.
Move it, niggers!
Yes, that's right.
Number one racist comic in America. Move over, Owen Benjamin.
I think someone named Davey made that, slowed it down, and put that on the internet. Yeah, no, if you want to do that shit, have me on your show. I was trying to get on Bert's show for the last 2 months, too. I'll fly down anytime. That's what Patreon's for. You understand that? The reason people give me monthly donations and shit is so that I can be mobile. I can be agile. I can fight in the culture war. I get why I'm supported. I get that I'm a fighter in the culture war. I get that I'm at the head of a spear. So it's like, I will come to LA anytime. I can pay for airfare that day because I got a Patreon, because people will give me, you know, some fucking extra cash every month so that I can not be pummeled by these rich bitches that have unlimited resources because some asshole will give them fucking 800 grand just so that they can be like, hey, my name's Joe Rogan. Salad Bear mowing today, homie. And it's bugging me. What the fuck is that building out of your window? Plug, please. At Unbearable Host Bear on Insta. That's called my pump house. It's where my my well is. It's not a gay bar, so relax, gays. It's called a pump house where I can just pull fresh water out of the ground all day, every day, and people wonder why I'm not scared. Because you can have all the money, all the non-gold-backed American fucking dead presidents as you want. You know, the Fed will just keep printing that shit. But want to know what you can't print? Water. Water. You want a good stock tip? Invest in water. Motherfuckers are going to start getting thirsty. Man, I'm on fire today. And I have no caffeine in me today. Honestly, the IDW type seem to like to hear themselves talk too much. Peterson seems to be the only one keeping a level head. Yeah, I like Shapiro too, even though he can be a bitch. But yeah, I mean, Ruben will agree with anything. Like, the Ruben could be interviewing the devil and he'd be like, you know, I kind of agree with the whole pitchfork thing. We're really having a conversation. And Shapiro can really miss the mark when it comes to cultural stuff in America. But Peterson is really inspirational and really brave and really intelligent. But you know what? I've always liked the Weinstein brothers. It's just when they're all together, they're a bunch of faggots. Can you verify me? Demanding Bear, great rave, by the way. Yeah, welcome, Demanding Bear. Got a son named Charlie, born with hypoxia, stroke, and seizures. Would love to meet up someday in the GH area. Many other coincidences to discuss. I also have a son named Charlie that was born with collapsed lungs, so we can hang out and talk about our little Charlies. Taxpayer being forced to pay for sex change in Wisconsin. Of course they are. Here you got a heavy bag. I'm sending over my heavy bag workout. Please do that, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for standing for what you believe in. Bears agree. Thank you, Philly. And the last one, which is, oh, my boy. Thank you. That's very generous, bud. I've known this dude for a while. I never make the live shows during the week. Glad I caught this one. I'll be at the Dallas show, and I'm bringing future Bears. Thanks for making me laugh every day. Much love to the family. You're the man, dude. Much love. And that's going to be it for me. So, yeah, we have 2,000 people watching right now. 2,000 people with zero promotion. I just put this up 40 minutes ago that I was going to go live. So hit the like button, share it, spread it, tag people in it. You think I give a fuck? I want people to know this shit. And I want people to know the reservations that I had, the reserve I had, that I'm not this impulsive guy that's just always like trying to go at people. I want to like people. I want to look up to people. I want to see logical consistency. I want people to believe in our way of life and want it to continue. But if someone's a coward, dude, fuck you. And no amount of heavy bag kicking and jujitsu bullshit is going to do anything to me. We have rule of law, guns, and just superior intellect. So have fun with that. I don't agree with some of the things you say, but I love your willingness to say it, big guy. I love you. Thank you. Okay, so hugepianist.com for my last three specials. All self-produced. All off the grid, and only advertised on my own website. Also, check out my tour dates, hugepianist.com, and you can give me all the death threats you want. It doesn't mean shit to me, by the way, because I'm so secure, I'm so safe, and I'm so fucking grounded that you're just wasting your breath. It's only going to encourage me. By the way, a lot of like Theo's fans, quote unquote, provoked this whole video where it's like they kept saying like, oh, you're attacking someone out of nowhere, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, now we start reading conversations online. You want to keep going? Now we'll go through fucking footage. You want to really play these games? I have terabytes of this shit. Have fun. Because I won't kneel. Because I know what kneeling is. I've had a suicidal father. I know what that's like. I know seeing people giving up in front of a fucking 8-year-old kid. I know that shame and embarrassment and trauma can stay in your brain so you become a slave and you try and serve a master. Not me. So enjoy that. Enjoy the effort of trying to get me to fucking kneel. And in the meantime, have a great day. I'm about to crack a couple more spritzers, have some fun with my family, and, you know, just enjoy being American because I love America. and I love Bears, and I love you guys. So stay true, stay good, and, you know, high five yourself if no one's around. It looks a lot like clapping.